rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith. So to begin with, there in verse 28, I think Paul really does a good job of summarizing essentially what we're going to unpack as we go through this passage. So I'm going to read that again. So he says, him, Christ, that is, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So as we unpack this summary, let's begin with verse 29. We struggle with purpose. So Paul here is describing the toil and the struggle that's put into this gospel proclamation. You know, this gospel isn't difficult to explain. It's not that kind of struggle. Christ came to redeem sinners. When we place our faith in him, he is faithful to save. Rather, the toil and struggle here that he's talking about, really, it carries a sense of urgency. The proclamation of Christ is urgent, as in needed daily and primary, as the most important need in our lives. It's humanity's greatest need and the very thing that we cannot obtain on our own. And as fickle humans, we need to remember this daily. If you look back at verse 17, we see that Christ is the one holding all things together right now. So without him, we wouldn't draw breath. In fact, we've never been able to sustain ourselves. From the time humans were created, we've always been dependent creatures. And Paul here is describing the urgency that he feels towards the Colossian church to hold fast to the sufficient and supreme work of Christ. Church, our families, like those in Colossae, and our neighbors, like those in Laodicea, they also need this message. It's not only our greatest need for life, but it guards against being led astray from what truly makes us alive. You know, so in this urgent proclamation, it's not something that we're meant to or able to do on our own. Notice with me verse 29. It says that it's his, Christ's, strength that enables us to proclaim Christ. You know, we need this daily. Often this aspect of our participation and yet Christ's power has been a bit challenging to understand. On the one hand, this is a mystery that we grow in understanding. Also, verses 26 and 27 have shown us in chapter 1, on the other hand, this mystery is being revealed to us. So 2 Corinthians 3:18 has really been a big help to me in understanding this process. And Paul says there, he says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Friends, as the Spirit opens our eyes, we look with unveiled face at the glory of the Lord, all that he has made. He has made all things, and through his design, he patiently reveals his redemption of a people for himself. Christ is the main character of the story. And the more that I marvel at this truth, the more that the Spirit reveals the ways in which I would rather be the main character, then the Spirit prompts my confession to God primarily, and then to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Why would we do that? Well, so they can remind me and you of these very truths that we're looking at right now, that I cannot, nor is I meant to redeem myself, no matter how hard I try on my own. And that process is hard work. That is a toiling and a struggle that, with the Spirit's help, God in his grace is faithful to transform us from glory to glory. It is the daily proclamation of Christ that we look to for transformation. And so Paul serves as a model here for us to see how we should conduct our lives, and we must urgently seek to proclaim this message. So what message exactly and for what purpose? Let's keep looking here and we'll see. So we'll look next to how the church is perfected in verses 2 and 3 in chapter 2. In these verses, Paul describes how we are presented mature in Christ, being perfected as he is perfect. So the source of that strength to toil is grace in Christ through prayer. We can look back and see in chapter 1, verse 9, how Paul continually prays for them. You know, in prayer, individually, we're able to meditate on our need in Christ's redemption that he gives to us, showing his love which knits us together. And as we meditate and pray, we're not alone. The Spirit encourages our hearts. Then we come together and confess our struggle with the lies and of sin and temptation, praying for healing, as James 5 reminds us. So this process of confessing to one another and praying for one another is a struggle on one another's behalf. And it's truly encouraging that we have this available to us. And it's through this process that we are knit together, as verse 2 says. So brothers and sisters, look at this with me. Look at the beauty of God's design. When sin tempts us to believe, if I let these people know that I am tempted to believe these plausible arguments, perhaps such as maybe I think I have to perform in order to get God's favor or your favor of me. And if I tell them this, surely I will be less connected from the body. What are they going to think of me? Yet we see how God's word tells us a different story, one that isn't made up in my own mind, but rather in the mind of God. This is his plan to grow and mature Christians. So UBC, how might you share with a brother or sister about how sin might be lying to you this week? You know, how might you respond to help one another to heaven by prayerfully pointing them to Christ? And then we put this in the hands of the Holy Spirit to carry us home. When we take the time to hear one another's struggles and struggle for and with them, as Paul models here, we are continually knit together in love, which is Christ. And look with me at verse 3. We as Christians who are maturing in Christ have the privilege to explore all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hidden in our Savior. So just pause and catch that. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is what we get to share with one another. What we need fully and truly need is Christ. You know, why and how? Well, he is the one who made all things and holds all things together. That's why we can find all we need in him. You know, the how, I believe, is through the gifts that he's given us in the body of Christ. When we rely on one another to walk through the trials of life, we're able to grow individually and corporately. This happens as we share ourselves and share the knowledge that we have of God and his world. Mature Christians look like a people who come together regularly to point one another to Christ. You know, friends who gather together over coffee or meals, and husbands and wives who meditate on and read the word together, fathers and mothers who pray and sing with their children, phone calls throughout the day when we need encouragement and help to withstand temptation. Point one another to the one who holds all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And lastly, we see how the church is protected. It's in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. We can see why this proclamation is so urgent. So we see that we really do, in fact, need protection. You know, there's a warning here that without remaining firm and ordered in how we orient all that we are toward Christ, we are certain to be deluded by plausible arguments. Christian, this is for you individually as you orient all that you are, your heart and mind daily. This is also for us as the whole body of Christ. So we're to structure all that the body is and does towards the centrality of Christ, who is our head. These words order and firmness would have military connotations, as in the structure and organization that comes in military formation. So we can glean from this, I think, that the risk of straying from the foundations of the gospel, believing a, quote, another gospel, is worth pointing our hearts to Christ's redeeming power. But if you're here and Christ is not your redeemer in all things in your life, then this assurance isn't yours yet. Now, please hear me. Your breath and life are a gracious gift from a good and loving Father. so that you may yet repent and believe. Put your faith then that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, joined with humanity that he might save a people for himself. Join me in the safety and assurance of that body by confessing Christ, confessing your sin, repenting, putting your faith in he who is the only worthy sacrifice for humanity's sin. So I know that we as Christians are always great at modeling this and getting this right, but thankfully that's not the point. Though we should mature in our ability to carry out what the Apostle Paul is putting before us here. So please be patient with us mere mortals and look to Christ who is the perfect one. And brothers and sisters, please pray for me to be humble in my proclamation of Christ and even more so in my confession as I will pray for you. So to conclude for now, I hope that you can see that without Christ, we struggle in vain. If we go throughout life without Christ, we lack purpose. We are immature and far from perfect. And without Christ, we are exposed and unprotected from the wages of sin. Yet we are not meant to be lone rangers, struggling in our own strength. We are joined with Christ, who is our Savior. And by his design, united with him in his body, the church. It's not by our wit or skill that we protect ourselves, rather through looking to Christ. I pray that you're able to see how the whole of Scripture points clearly to Christ. And from this, we find strength by proclaiming Christ, warning and teaching as we confess our weakness, thus growing to maturity as we remind one another continually to look to Christ, our only hope for salvation. Again, please pray with me.